Next curve.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Rethink Podcast. I'm Leonard Lee, Managing Director of Next Curve, and today I have a very special guest, Bill Pugh of Smart Connections Consulting LLC, joining me today to talk about smart transportation. Thank you so much, Bill, for joining me. Super happy to have you. Why don't you take a moment to introduce yourself to our audience and let us know more about your background, the work that you do.
Absolutely. And thanks for having me. So Bill Pugh, co-founder and managing partner for Smart Connections Consulting. Before we get to what Smart Connections does, I'll give you a bit of background. I've been in the connected space for at least 20 plus years, 25 years. Doing everything from smart grid solutions, where I was an early employee for Silver Spring Networks. I was in charge of the infrastructure. And so that's everything from the meter to the tunnel termination routers in the data centers. Stayed with them for a while, built their distribution automation line of business, and then joined a company by the name of Sensity Systems, where they were a lighting retrofit company, and we built out smart lighting solutions and things like that. And they were acquired by Verizon. Following that, I started Smart Connections Consulting. I saw a real need in both the city and the municipality space where if we were going to do anything smart, we needed to bring those two together. And it's taken a long time. And I think that we're finally getting there now. Ironically, being that I was from the Bay Area, first city that I got was Palo Alto. Uh-huh. And this was about 2014. Uh-huh. And I found it extremely interesting that for traffic, it seemed like the data was extremely fast. So why don't we build a digital twin that uses streaming data and applies analytics and all of that good stuff? Yeah. And lo and behold, 7 years later, here we are. And digital twins is a big term. I mean, I think it's almost overused.
It's certainly overused, overloaded, and overextended. But wow, Palo Alto. So yeah, you know, some folks might not know the traffic problems in the Bay Area, right? Especially at around 4 o'clock, trying to get to San Jose International from Palo Alto. That's
if you don't leave 2 hours earlier to arrive 2 hours early.
No, I remember back in the day when I was consulting for HP, it took me forever to get to the airport from Palo Alto, you know, and it was really quite the disaster. But no, thanks so much for the intro. But hey, why don't you maybe speak a little bit about you know, what you guys do at Smart Connections Consulting. You know, just make sure that our audience is clear on that.
Sure. So we provide any number of services from strategy. So typically cities will talk to us about, you know, what they want to do, you know, their initiatives over the course of the next 18 months to 2 years.
Right.
We'll help them put together a strategy. We'll help them build out their requirements. Once they go to RFP, we'll come back and help them with the implementation all across the board. So that's anything ranging from smart grid solutions where they partner with the utilities, smart water, smart building. But the biggest thing that has taken front and center has been what do we do about traffic calming or traffic monitoring?
Right.
And how do we get ourselves to be capable of supporting the autonomous vehicles that have been promised and are on their way?
Right. Yeah. And I really wanted you to do that because you are really one of these guys that you see everywhere. When it comes to smart cities, smart transportation, you're going to be at IoT World next week. But I mean, you're pretty much a fixture on the IoT burrito circuit, you know. And what I mean by that is, I used to be in a Latin rock funk band, and there's this whole scene down here in Southern California called the burrito circuit. And so I consider you one of those main acts in the IoT burrito circuit, you know, or the smart cities burrito circuit, which is wonderful. I mean, you know, the reason why I invited you on is because you are quite the expert, and I really wanted to bat around this agenda with you. So let's talk about what we're going to discuss in the next few minutes here. First off, what I wanted to do talk to you about transportation, why it needs to be smarter. You kind of touched on it a little bit, but I want to delve into that a bit more in detail. And then what I'd like to do, Bill, is explore what are some of the prevailing challenges with smart transportation. What's kind of held it back in the past? And you mentioned how things are starting to move. Well, what's really that grease or that lubricant that's allowing things to move forward? And then, you know, touch on some of the mindset changes that need to happen in order to clear some of these bottlenecks, because obviously a lot of technology is not what has been the impediment. There's other things that get in the way of progress when it comes to smart transportation. And finally, what are the things that the tech and IoT industry and governments need to do to make transportation in urban and rural areas smarter, right? I mean, there's a lot of talk. We barely see any movement. And we certainly don't see a lot of this technology showing up for the masses in our vehicles. So what do you think?
Well, you know, I mean, I think it's ideal that you start talking about, intelligent transportation, smart traffic monitoring,
right?
How all of the pieces kind of fit together. You know, the movement that I'm seeing, though, is more around one, cities and municipalities and traffic organizations as a whole need to understand how they're going to move from these corridors that are timed. Corridors that, right? I mean, so there's timers, it's like, I have to leave my house at this time. Otherwise, I'm going to be stuck behind a queue of vehicles.
Yeah.
And the lights are only changing every so often. And that's because it's timed for a period of time. And then it goes back to something other than. Likewise, you'll pull up, you say you leave early, you'll pull up to an intersection and you're waiting there at a red light. And there's no one else there. Why? Mm-hmm. So I think that, there's some homework that needs to be done up front for any city that is looking to improve the traffic flow and the things of that nature. The secondary effect to that is if you improve the traffic flow, then now sustainability gets to recognize the value because you reduce the CO2 emissions.
Right.
So their goal
less
for
idle time, right?
Exactly.
Less idle time and less people getting upset with each other. So there's a whole mental health aspect to it as well. Right.
Yes. And I mean, this kind of ties itself across the board, not just the surface streets, but I mean, even on the highways, and things of that nature.
Right.
And then there are other services that everyone uses, such as, your mapping, applications and everything like that, that'll tell you, hey, get off over here because there's it's congested in the direction that you're going. And now you'll get off the highway onto the surface streets and the surface streets become more congested. So there's not a uniformity in terms of how these traffic organizations, as well as cities and municipalities, are all working together to create this this uniform, use of data and improving the flow of traffic.
Yeah. So, Bill, I mean, brass tacks. What is really driving the investment in smarter transportation or this idea that transportation has to be smarter? I mean, you hear people talk about the traffic flow improvements or traffic efficiency. You talk about safety, but brass tacks. I mean, you're in there talking to a lot of the city administrators and leaders, mayors. What's really resonating? And I assume there's regional and probably geographic nuances, right? In what different types of cities and scales of cities I think are important. But what are those things that are real?
the first thing is the citizens that live within the city. That's the first thing. And you know, their own enjoyment when they want to go to the downtown areas, there's, you know, there's the, well, if we don't go at this time, it's going to be traffic. And, right. and that is part and partial due to a second, another secondary effect or a tertiary effect of where's parking. So the things kind of link together. And the first thing is, how do you get your own citizens from, you know, point A to point B in a timely right. fashion and provide them with the parking that they need? Yeah. The second thing is, how do you attract? So there's a tourism effect right. in terms of how do I attract people
right.
to the city so that they can come in and spend money? So that's right. your economic development piece. And then it's an overall initiative to, you know, provide a safe environment. So your Vision okay. Zero initiatives
right.
and, you know, what causes these accidents and fatalities. And, you know, and then how do I create a greener city in and of itself?
Right. Right.
So everything right. is kind of cascading and it does sure. start with the traffic.
Yeah. But it also seems to all start with economics and the money.
Right? Yes.
Let's make it easy to get downtown to certain, you know, city centers where we can drive the economy there and, you know, really make it convenient for the citizens, right?
Yeah,
to
absolutely.
Access the city centers where a lot of commerce happens, maybe a lot of jobs are there as well, right? Definitely, we don't want to be spending too much time in the commute, and it usually happens around urban areas, right? Dense urban areas.
Exactly. Exactly. Right? And you look at some of the smaller cities.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they may have an influx of you know, people that come there, but the yeah. question is, well, if you come here and you work here, why don't you live here?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And you say that a lot.
Yeah.
Which I think this is really a key insight that I think our audience should walk away with, because I think a lot of the smart city, smart transportation initiatives are being led, or at least starting to get led, by the sustainability mantra, as well as, you know, safety. But it almost seems like, I mean, if we're to be very dead honest, it still boils down to economics, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that's great. And so you mentioned that all the smart transportation stuff, smart cities, is a long time coming, right? We've been talking about it forever. And it's almost a tiring exercise to attend these panel discussions and webinars and, you know what I'm saying, conferences, real or virtual, about smart this and smart that around cities and transportation. But I mean, what are some of the prevailing challenges, the ones that you've seen as big bottlenecks, you know, the big ones that has gotten us stuck, where, you know, all these fantasy PowerPoints never amounted to anything for all these years?
The big thing that I see is there's no uniformity in terms of mindset. You know, you can go city by city, and some cities have advanced traffic management systems.
Yeah.
Some cities don't. Some cities right. contract their traffic out, and right. it's managed and monitored by another entity. And, you know, there's got to be some coalescence around how we treat that traffic, how we treat that part of it. You know, and again, that a lot of that comes back to some of your economic points. The city yeah. may not have the funds to actually have their own traffic management center.
Right.
They just can't afford. They can't afford the employees. They can't afford the overhead. They can't afford these things.
Yeah.
And so they contract it out. But in essence, what they've done is they've given the control of that over to a third party that yeah. then has access to that data and will monetize that data on their own,
yeah.
unless the city has made other arrangements. There's other economic challenges in terms of, you know, everyone kind of looks at it and says, oh, well, you have traffic cabinets. Okay, well, how old are those traffic cabinets? Because,
yeah.
you know, some of them I've encountered are so old that you can't plug anything in and get anything out of it. It is literally dealing with voltages and timers and older, RTUs and things of that nature. So, we kind of have to start from the ground floor and say, in order to do this, there has to be a capital investment made, and you should be at this level, immediately. So that's one of the biggest challenges that I see is, every city is at a different level. And we need to figure out a uniform way to kind of get them up to a certain standard.
Right. So it's like in the banking industry, the mainframe problem. The mainframe never died. It's still around, and you have a lot of legacy technology laying around that you have to continue to figure out, well, how do we continue to modernize on top of it? But it seems that based on what you're saying, the smart cities have that, or not so smart cities or aspirational cities that are aspiring to become smart have the challenge of dealing with a lot of this legacy legacy infrastructure and technologies. But you know what? So here's something that comes to mind, Bill, as you were speaking. It's not just about the city. If you look at, like, let's say the United States as a whole, one of the challenges that the transportation industry in general, and I include the automotive in that, is going to be facing is tremendous fragmentation, right? And one of the things that I've written about in that piece, and I think you've read it, right?
Yeah.
The Future of Transportation, is that as we look to build out our smart transportation infrastructure, fragmentation is going to be a huge problem. And like what you're saying, each of the cities has different technologies that they're dealing with, different mindsets, different capabilities and aspirations, and that's going to be a problem, right? And so as we start to look at digitalizing the transportation for our cities and the rural areas, we have to think about digital, basically the maturity in a very holistic way. We can't just look at, we can't expect that autonomous vehicle to solve everything, right? Which is, I think, what the auto industry is doing. We have to also look at the infrastructure and how that evolves and how we can evolve it and advance it in a way where there is some kind of lowest common denominator that's going to be valuable, right? Because I think right now is just it's invisible and it's non-consequential, at least that's my impression, unless you think otherwise.
No, I think you're right. I mean, the interesting part about that is it really does come down to, what is the city's connectivity?
Right.
That bottom line, it really comes down to that. And not only that, but extending beyond the downtown, just like you said, beyond the downtown areas and into the rural areas, into the underserved communities. And how do you do that? The city has to, it through private public partnerships or through grants or through other means of funding, they've got to get themselves to a point where they have a backbone that is going to support all of these new solutions that they're going to want to employ over time.
Uh-huh. Yeah, interesting. So speaking of mindset, because that's another thing that you've mentioned that kind of popped in my head, in my mindset, is... So what are some of those mindset changes that we need to make in order to continue to clear bottlenecks or clear existing bottlenecks?
Well, so we're down to the local level where we're talking about a city. And it's funny because I've even talked to cities that are extremely small, and they'll say it in a heartbeat, well, we only have five intersections. And I'm like, okay, that part's fine. We've got to, while we're working with our own local city, we have to reach out to neighboring cities and other, so it has to become a regional thing because we can create the most modern, awesome, experience within a given city. And then when you leave that city, you got a whole nother experience happening, and it's just not the same. So how do we get that standard interaction in such a fashion that my experience in city A is the same as city B, city C, and so on.
Yeah.
I think we've got to, our leadership, right? At the at the CIO level, at the CTO level, at the mayor's level, at the governor level. It has to be across. And we need the help of these standards bodies that are you know, putting out the standards for how things are done. Some of them I agree with. Some of them I definitely don't agree with, because I feel like they're addressing the problem from the bottom up as opposed to holistically.
You
know, and you know, some of it is technology led as opposed to, you know, is this really going to solve the problem? Is this something that is extensible to the next city? Because because we're San Francisco, we can afford to do this. Maybe East Palo Alto can't. Maybe, you know, other smaller cities can't. So, you know, one of the things that I've thrown out is, you know, how about a blanket purchase agreement that, you know, because of the economies of scale, allows the smaller cities to ride on these purchasing vehicles. So that they can actually get the same thing. And how about coordination city to city and region to region where these things are happening? Now, I understand that there are conversations that are going on, but the conversations aren't leading to action. That's what I'm seeing.
Right. And so where you see that we're falling short on that execution or translating vision to execution? Because, I mean, there's plenty of, I mean, you know, every single research institute consulting firm has come up with the holistic view, right? Where do you see these cities tripping up and not being able to take some of these visions that are expressed in these PowerPoints and bring it down into the street and benefiting citizens? I think it's
in a lot of instances that I've seen, to be honest, it's a political thing. I mean, you have a term for a city manager, and you have a term for, you know, for the mayor and these types of things. And those are your real, they should be your real leaders in terms of here's where we're going. But when they term out, someone else comes in. They've got their own mark to make. And the likelihood that they're going to pick up an existing plan and adopt it, I haven't seen that happen too often.
Really?
They all want to put their own spin on it.
Well, I mean, how come the plan just can't be so good that it doesn't become a political thing? It just makes sense. It's something that you want to perpetuate, you know, and support.
I think that's the challenge that we're having right now.
It is
absolutely a challenge. I mean, not only do you have those leaders, you know, being termed out and, you know, they're there for, you know, 2 to 4 years or, you know, anything like that, but you're a city council. Now you have a decision board that is saying whether or not this is going to happen. And, you know, there are things that we and, you know, the citizens of any given city like and dislike. If you put cameras up, you'll get a plethora of people saying, oh, you're spying on me. And they don't understand that in a lot of instances, the cameras that are sitting at an intersection are detection cameras. They're not speed cameras. They could be, but they typically have to let you know that's what's there. But they're detection cameras, and they're for safety purposes and traffic observation and things of that nature to help. We've got to become more proactive as opposed to reactive, because those cameras, if there's an accident, 9 times out of 10, it's forensic. They go back and they look at it and they understand what happened and everything like that. And then they react. I mean, there's a lot of work that we have left to do. And I think that we've got to clear up some of these obstacles and some of these, you know, our own created hurdles.
Sure. So, well, what are some of the recommendations then that you have for the tech industry and, you know, the IoT industry and governments to do to make some of the stuff happen, clear the bottlenecks or the roadblocks? I mean, what are those practical things that you see that they need to do?
One of the first things that we really need to do is start looking at our infrastructure. because we're talking about solutions and we're saying, okay, well, I'm going to use a DSRC radio and everything like that for my traffic pieces and everything like that. And I'm also going to use, you know, some elements of 5G, and I'm also going to use this. And I'm, you know, I'm looking at it, I'm saying, all right, so what infrastructure are you hanging these devices off of? Right. And what are we doing about the biggest piece of infrastructure that we have that's not being utilized? And that's the ground. What are we doing about, you know, shared ownership of traffic, traffic lights and, and street lights and things of that nature? I think we really have to, in a parallel track, I don't think we do this serially, but in a parallel track, we have to understand shared infrastructure. And I believe that cities and utilities should absolutely be working together.
Right.
Because let an outage happen.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the city's in the dark, literally.
Yeah. And so is your smart transportation infrastructure.
Exactly. And so, you know, without that, people
it goes blind.
They forget how to actually drive in these instances when you have the lights out and everyone's at these intersections and I'm gonna go and you're gonna to go and who's counting who's going and which direction is it? It's
I mean, you know, when we start to talk about themes such as safety, you have these massive outages like what we had in the winter of last year in Texas. Well, guess what? Everything shuts down. No emergency vehicles can operate because they're autonomous, you know? And so, yeah, and I think that's one of the things that I don't see quite happening very well, or is this, treatment of the topic from a holistic perspective, like a systems, looking at the solution from a system of systems perspective, right? And you know, I like your comment prior that a lot of the standard bodies are looking at it from a technology perspective, and sometimes that approach can be very siloed. And right now, I think the smart transportation discourse is really split into three, right? You have the automakers really wanting to push very smart autonomous vehicles. You have the chip companies wanting to make those things smart so they can sell in the chips. And then on the other hand, you have another group trying to make the infrastructure smarter, right? And then in the middle, it's that critical piece that you were talking about, connectivity. Because if you don't have connectivity, none of the other two sides can really talk to each other. The infrastructure can't talk to the car. The cars can't talk to each other. And so there's some of that coalescing happening, but not, I don't see that there's enough. But that's, a big opportunity for the industry. And I think a lot of your comments reflect that need. So I think it's kind of cool.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, it does. There's elements of what we just said in terms of the connectivity,
right?
And then the electricity, because the electricity itself, without the electricity, you're not doing any of this.
Yes.
And so the thing about it is that it's not a sprint. This is absolutely a marathon. And, but we have to have continuity in plan. We have to have coalescence in standards, and we have to have, execution. How many times I've seen we're doing a pilot and the pilot is done and that's not the direction we're going.
Right.
Is that stuff coming down or what, what's happening? Are you back to square one? Are you starting all over? I mean, what happens in terms of that delivery and the data, the policies around the data, who owns the data, the use of the data, subscriptions to the data. And lastly, but most importantly, the security of all of that.
Right. Yeah, right, right. No, that's this is all really great stuff. So another key word that's popping out of this discussion is governance. Well, cities are supposed to govern.
Yes.
But yeah. You have to get the governance of this stuff correctly. And maybe that's part of this whole digital culture that a lot of folks are starting to bat around. You know, I'm still trying to acclimate myself to the term, but it seems to be something a lot of people are talking about these days. I suspect part of that is having a quote unquote digital mindset. So, whatever that means.
Well, I mean, you know, you look at the goals, right? We all hear these goals of the mandates of, you know, everybody is to be, you know, electric by 2030 or things of that nature. You know, there's not everyone is going to be able to afford an electric vehicle. How do we deal with that?
Not a lot of people are going to be able to afford an autonomous vehicle for a very long time.
Exactly. So I mean,
there aren't going to be a lot of autonomous vehicles on the road for a very long time.
Exactly. Yeah, we've got all of those levels of autonomy to deal with, which, I mean, I'm kind of struggling as to whether or not we're level two or level two and a half or where we're at, but level two, maybe.
Level two is pretty, it at the very most.
Yes.
at the least on average, we're like less than one. Most cars are. Yeah. Are zero,
most cars
level
are.
Zero, you know, so, but, you know, it goes back to the first question or the first topic that we discussed is the why, right? And I think what I'm getting from you in this discussion is you quite honestly have to drive it off of the economic agenda because, you know, safety, all these things are actually secondary, if not tertiary. They're great talking points. But the investments doesn't happen. And like you said, politically, the justification can't really happen. Because, you know, safety, it's really, really hard to sell that, just like it's hard to sell insurance, right?
Yes.
It sounds great, you know?
Well, I mean,
but nobody wants to pay for it.
That's the circular discussion that you have, right? I mean, it's like, you know, oh, well, it's safety. It's public safety. Well, yeah, well, public safety is hugely important. But, you know, it's hard because you got competing requirements,
right?
You know, and you really do. Any city wants to improve their economic development. Any city wants to improve their economic development, and in doing so, you now create a safer environment. Now create this interactive environment that's beneficial to the citizens. But, you know, you can't leave the citizens out of it. And when we talk about any of this, like I said, the electrification of anything, whether it be through a city that says we're going to work to get, you know, electric vehicles for everyone, or, you know, the city itself and the municipalities themselves say, well, we're going to electrify our fleets. Yeah. OK, well, all of that is great. Right. And how do you do that? Because now you're engaging the utility at that point.
Right.
And what are you doing to create a resilient city that when you have an outage, you now have a means for your critical infrastructure to remain operational.
Right. And I think that's a great concept and idea to close on here, critical infrastructure. We kind of need to think of it that way, right?
And absolutely.
We certainly don't invest in it like we believe it. So, no, that's wonderful. So, Bill, hey, thanks for joining me. Really appreciate the time and all the great insights that you've provided. So why don't you take a moment to let our audience know how they can reach out to you if they have any questions and want to engage with the services that you provide at Smart Connections Consulting.
Sure. You can find our website, smartconnections.io, and you can find me on LinkedIn as well as Twitter at Connect That City. Happy to be here. Great conversation with you always. And anyone that's interested, I'm happy to chat, happy to talk about anything you want to do, connectivity perspective, from a data perspective. Want to build digital twins? Give me a shout.
Yeah, and I highly recommend Bill. I mean, like I said, he's one of those experts. He's part of the IoT Smart City Burrito Circuit. He's the man. So thank you so much again, Bill. And to our listeners and viewers, thanks for joining us. Don't forget to check our free research brief on the future of transportation, a system of systems perspective on the future of the car, available on the Next Curve Rethink Research blog. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel and Apple Podcast channel, and visit us at www.next-curve.com. And until next time, be safe and stay healthy. Bill, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
Cheers.
Visit us at www.next-curve.com.